We are in the middle of a series where we focus on Jesus. We've been doing that for months, and if we continued on this series all year, we would not exhaust the qualities, the essence, and the goodness of Jesus. So we'll continue it for a while and see all the different characteristics of Jesus we can learn. Today's title is Jesus the Messiah. Messiah can be defined as the Christ. He's ruler, he's king, he's rescuer, he's savior. Messiah can be translated literally anointed one, which is what the people of Israel did all through the Old Testament for every king. They anointed one. Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Anointed One. The Old Testament is full of prophecies about the coming Messiah. The Messiah would be born of a virgin, it says in Isaiah 7. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 2 says. The Messiah would be a suffering servant, it says in Isaiah 53. The Messiah would bear our sins and suffer in our place, Isaiah 52. The Messiah would be a prophet like Moses from Deuteronomy 18. The Messiah would be pierced, Zechariah 12. The Messiah would be called out of Egypt, it's from Hosea 1. The Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11. The Messiah would be the Passover lamb, Ezekiel 12. And we will study that more on Easter Sunday, the Passover lamb. We'll celebrate that. The Messiah would establish peace and justice and righteousness. This is in Isaiah 9, a familiar one. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. Also, the Messiah would come riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9. Here's how it reads. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's an unusual prophecy. Your king will come lowly, humbly, riding on a donkey, on the foal of a donkey. So here's the fulfillment of that Zechariah prophecy in Matthew chapter 21. This is a familiar text. Becca already gave us a preview of it. I'm going to read these verses. You can follow along on the screens. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make your word come alive in our hearts today. Jesus, we praise you for being the Messiah. Please reveal yourself to all of us today. Show us who you really are, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Some theologians and commentators have identified more than 300 Old Testament prophecies like the ones I already referenced that are fulfilled in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We just read the particular one in Zechariah 9 and its fulfillment in Matthew 21. The story in Matthew appears in all four Gospels and is celebrated in some fashion on Palm Sunday, which is today, the week, the Sunday before Easter. We who are Christians and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, worship him. With so much Old Testament scripture pointing to Jesus, why didn't every Jew believe that Jesus was the Messiah then, and why don't they now? Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the foal of a donkey, and when the city full of Jews gathering to celebrate Passover saw him and asked, "Who is this guy?" Their response, the crowd responds, "He's a prophet from Nazareth." They didn't respond, "He's the Messiah." Why didn't they recognize him as Messiah? They sang the truth. They sang Hosanna. Hosea, that's an Old Testament prophet. They sang Hosanna. They shouted Hosanna to the Son of David. They were in the city of David, the capital city. They were shouting and prophetically declaring the truth, but they, when asked, responded, "He's a prophet from Nazareth." And I think just as important as that question is the question I want to ask us, why don't all of us recognize Jesus as Messiah? We have all of those Old Testament prophecies as well. What is it that keeps us from recognizing Jesus for who he really is? Well, some certainly did recognize Jesus. We did a wonderful Advent series, and throughout that series, we saw all kinds of characters who recognized Jesus was the Messiah. Mary, the mother of Jesus, received the truth from the angel, and she carried it in her heart that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one. Joseph received it, believed it from the angel. Anna and Simeon, the oldsters in the temple when Jesus was dedicated at 8 days, much like we dedicated here. Jesus was brought to the temple and dedicated. The prophet Simeon and the prophetess Anna recognized Jesus and declared him as the Messiah. John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Messiah when he baptized him and saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. And he directed his disciples to follow Jesus. Willingly sent them. I'm not the Messiah, John the Baptist said. He's the one, follow him. Peter got a revelation. When Jesus asked him, who are the people saying I am? And they discussed a lot of different options. And Jesus said to them, who do you say I am? And Peter responded, in faith and in truth, you are the Messiah. Luke 9:20, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. So Jesus had hundreds and even at times thousands following him because of the amazing miracles he performed. The large crowds would gather to see him. And right before his entrance into Jerusalem, from this text we read, he had just resurrected his good friend Lazarus from the dead. So there were thousands talking about him, hundreds and thousands following him, but not everyone got it that he was the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. Why is it that we miss who Jesus totally and completely is? Well, I think one of the things is Jesus didn't act much like an earthly ruler and king. He didn't draw attention to himself. His miracles did, but he didn't. He wasn't tweeting. He actually would go across the lake in the middle of the night to get away from the crowds. The people were looking for a mighty king who would overthrow Rome, right? People were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They were hoping for another giant killer like King David. King David was the prototype of ruler that they were looking for. They wanted someone to free them from the Roman oppression, much like King David had freed them from the Philistine oppression. I believe people miss Jesus as the Messiah because he didn't look and he didn't act like a king and deliverer in the way they were expecting. And I think it's the same for us today. We don't think that a mighty ruler is going to come into town on a small donkey. So I have a little slide here. If a big mighty ruler was coming to our town, this is how he'd show up, right? Nice procession of escalades, drawing a lot of attention. That's how, what we would never expect a world leader, a king, a ruler, a savior to come to town looking like this, would we? I think the difference between a small donkey with Jesus on him, the colt full of a donkey, is about as humble as that lawn tractor is compared to the war horse, the stallion, that rulers would roll into with all of their military garb on and their crown. He totally messed up their perception of leadership. And we saw this throughout the Gospels. Jesus said, "The first will be the last, and I didn't come to be served, I came to serve." And to prove it, and we talked about this as Jesus is a servant, he got on the floor in the dirt and he washed their feet. That's not what they were looking for in a world leader who would save them from Roman oppression. Even though Jesus' procession into Jerusalem was exactly as prophesied by Zechariah, they were looking for a more impressive version. Could he really be the Messiah? Jesus talked with a Samaritan woman. He ate with despicable tax collectors. He touched and healed lepers. He defended a notorious prostitute. He didn't confront Rome, but rather confronted religious leaders. The one time that Jesus got aggressive, it was to clear the temple, not the capital. And I meant to say it that way. Jesus came to clean his house so it would be a place of reverent worship and prayer, not take on the government. Yeah, Jesus resurrected some people from the dead, but he didn't kill people like worldly, earthly kings with power did. I believe they missed their Messiah because Jesus didn't meet their expectations. And before we get too hard on them, I think we often miss Jesus because he doesn't meet our expectations either. I want the worship team to come up. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we're much like the people that we read about here welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday 2,000 plus years ago. We have expectations of who the Messiah is and what the Messiah will do. Expectations aren't always a bad thing. Expectations are an expression of faith. They are things that we are looking forward to that we don't quite see yet. Right? You see how expectation is an expression of faith. It's looking forward to something. But many times we're looking forward to things that fit our agenda rather than looking forward to the things that God said he's going to do and wants to do. Recognizing our expectations can help us if we will embrace who Jesus is and if we will follow him as he calls us to follow him. Here's the thing. Jesus came into Jerusalem to give his life for others, not to dethrone Rome. Jesus rode on a humble beast of burden, not on a war horse drawing attention to his power. His triumphal entry is like a prophetic proclamation, a declaration of victory, but a victory over Satan, over sin, and over death, not a victory over Rome or any other government oppression. Jesus came to defeat the power of Satan, of sin, and of death over every one of our lives. He didn't come to turn governments upside down, no matter how much we would like him to. He dethroned the spiritual forces of darkness, and that was his purpose in coming to Jerusalem. And he established righteousness, peace, and justice in our hearts with his sacrifice. And then he asks us to demonstrate that righteousness, peace, and justice in our hearts as the church to a world that's hungry and thirsty for what's real and true. I think we want Jesus to fix everything. And he said, I just fixed and healed you. Now go be my witness in the world. So there's this song, Hosanna, and we sang the bridge to it a little earlier. And this song, Hosanna, Hosanna, In the Matthew passage we've read, it said, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna can mean praise God, shouts of praise and adoration, Hosanna. Today, we can sing and shout Hosanna, maybe for the first time. Maybe for the first time, some of you will believe who Jesus is and who he says he is and who he came to be. The Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Ruler, the Christ, the Anointed One. Maybe for the first time in your life today, as we sing Hosanna, you'll be declaring his kingship in your life for the first time. I hope that's true for some of you here in this room, for those who listen on the live stream later. Some of us are thoroughly convinced. When we're singing this song here in a moment, you're going to just jump on it because you have a revelation that Jesus is the Messiah and you just love to express it in worship, much like some of those who were in the crowd 2,000 plus years ago. So some are going to be declaring it for the first time. Some of us will be singing Hosanna out of a revelation of who Jesus is. But I want us to enter with the believers over the centuries who have declared Jesus, Hosanna, the Messiah is coming. So I want to invite you to stand. The worship team is going to lead us in this song. Let's sing Hosanna to our King, church, for a little bit. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the King. He's the Anointed One. He's the Christ. He's come to save us. He's come to establish his kingdom in our hearts on this earth. And some of us who have been listening this morning, if you're honest, you would say, you know, actually, Jesus hasn't met my expectations. You might feel disappointment in Jesus in some way. So if you are the Messiah, why fill in the blank? Even though Jesus warned his disciples multiple times, up to four times, I'm going to Jerusalem to die and to raise again, they didn't understand it and they were so disillusioned that they left him. Even though Jesus did what he promised, they were devastated, especially Peter, because he didn't do what they were expecting him to do. And I think it happens to us in life. We look around and we're like, the world after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection was still full of Roman oppression, burdening the people. Nothing had changed in their circumstances around them, but everything had changed for eternity because the King had come and he had defeated sin and death. And for everyone who makes room in their heart for that truth, it changes everything in your life. It doesn't change suffering or disappointment. I want it to. Could we just worship Jesus for who he is, the Messiah? Could we follow him for his agenda and not our own? I think John the Baptist is the poster child for disappointment. John the Baptist had a revelation of Jesus as the Messiah when he baptized him and saw the Holy Spirit descend on him. And he said, this is the Messiah. I'm not the Messiah. He's the man. I came and prepared the way for him. Later on, in prison, Matthew 11, he says, hey, guys, go ask him, are you the one who is to come or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied to the two messengers, go back and tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me. Do you know one of the prophetic words over Jesus' life in Isaiah 61 is he sets the captives free and his best friend was in jail wondering, are you really the one? We get that way too. We give our lives to Jesus, we follow him, and then something hits us and we're like, is this really it? Are you really the one, Jesus? Hosanna is this wonderful declaration of adoration and praise. Hosanna also literally means save us. I just want us to sing this chorus and this bridge a couple more times because there's some people in here who are really wondering, are you for real, God? Is this what my life is going to be with you? And I just want you to honestly express your heart of disappointment by singing Hosanna. Now, some of you are like, I can't do that, Merle. It's easier to be quiet. I can't authentically worship God and say Hosanna when I'm in the place that I'm in. And I just want you to in Luke, then we're going to sing it. I know I keep saying we're going to sing it. In Luke's account, he says, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace, glory to the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet. They didn't like the attention he was getting. And Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Philippians 2 says, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glorified. If we don't say it, the rocks will say it for us. Hosanna, save us. Maybe you can only whisper it because of the pain in your heart and the disappointment and the disillusionment. But I want you to whisper it until you can speak it and speak it until you can sing it and sing it until you can shout it. Jesus is the Messiah. Hosanna to the King. Worship will overcome the despair in our hearts. Hosanna. Hosanna. Here's my encouragement. Hashtag keep the rocks quiet, church. Let's worship again, okay? With the faith that God has given our hearts, let's worship. Jesus, we love you. We worship you for who you are. Messiah, Lord, King, Savior, Redeemer, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I bless you, church, to believe and declare Jesus is the Messiah. I bless you to encounter Jesus as your Savior. I bless you with hope that overcomes despair. I bless you with love that overcomes fear. I bless you with righteousness, peace, and justice in your hearts. I bless you to go and be the kingdom of Jesus manifest in the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, church. God bless you as you go. If you want prayer for anything, we have ministry team people who will linger here at the stage. You can have prayer if you would like it. Go in the power of Jesus.